Thank you, ladies, and Mike. Thank you, ladies, and Mike. Very good. Amen. Amen. And Lord's blessed us with some new folks around here recently, and there's a lot more options we have for us. That's good. Take your Bibles and go back to Psalm 33, where a few weeks ago we were working on this, how living under the blessings, living among the blessings, the way I mentioned it. And we talked about living among the blessings in our personal lives. And of course, then we had Palm Sunday, then we had Easter, and I'm not going to get done this one today, but we're coming close. I'm be honest with you, we're getting kind of picky on some things here, and some of you may actually, on some of the things I'm going to say to you, may say, well, I don't know about that, and you might say that, but I'll be honest with you, I think that the principles are in the Word of God, and I think you're going to see that it's true, and America's been blessed, there's no doubt about it, okay? And it's been blessed abnormally. And I think it's because, basically, the nation was founded on Christian principles, founding on the fear of God. Now, things have changed here in the last, 40 or 50 years, where we have gradually been trying to pull the Lord out of public life, trying to hide him in and keep him closed up in doors of the church. They don't mind if we keep him closed up in the church. As long as we don't bother them with it, they're fine with it. And but the fact is, even the people of God have kind of gotten wishy-washy and kind of indifferent and kind of lackadaisical about the things of God's Word. And the fact is, when we read it, it was in Deuteronomy 28, but it was coming up on Deuteronomy 30, but Deuteronomy 28 says we have to hearken to the voice of God diligently. And we've kind of lost our diligence. And we wonder why we've lost God's hand of blessing. Now today, I'm trying to give us the idea of what God can do, and we're going to talk about some of the things why he's not down the road here, but I want you to see a few things here. So Psalm 33, verse number 12, you'll almost be able to preach this message yourself, to yourself. If I give you too much, you'll just go in one ear and out the other. And the fact is, we need to hear these things over and over. You know, I was taught this one time. This is true. Now, this was taught by a guy who's a musician. But he says, you got to hear something four or five times before you believe it. You got to hear it four or five more times before you know you need it. And you got to hear it four or five more times before you know you need to heed it. Heed it. You got to do something about it. Because one thing is know that you need it, and still not do anything about it. And so, there was an old preacher who got up, and he was a new preacher to the church, and he got up the first Sunday. He preached on John 3:16. Well, actually, John 3, and the verse was actually, you must be born again, John 3. And they said, well, that's okay, that's fine, it's a familiar verse, that's good. The next week he got up, and this old, dried up old church, it was about to close up. He preached on John 3, you must be born again. And they kind of looked at each other, and next week he got up, he preached again on John 3, you must be born again. So after the church service, the deacons got together and said, Pastor, we can we have a little word with you? And they brought him over to the side here. He says, now, I know you're new here, and you understand that John 3 is a very good passage. We all agree that John 3 is a good passage. But you preached on the first Sunday, then you preached on the second Sunday, you preached on the third Sunday. I was wondering why you keep preaching on you must be born again. And he looked at him real square and looked at all these deacons and says, because you all need to be born again. You must be born again. And there's some things that we say, well, that's real nice, that's a good principle. Be nice if we all heeded that. That's not going to happen, but let's go on with life. And this is one of those things, too. And I want us to see some things here this morning. So Psalm 33, verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, blessed, this particular word, blessed, means leveled out. It means leveled, Blessed is the, leveled is the nation whose God is the Lord. No, it means leveled out, means straightened out. It means to have to have straightened the course. It means smooth sailing. It implies that we're going to be happy. In other words, as old the famous words and infamous words of Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is. You young folks don't know who he was. But anyway, he was kind of built like me. But anyway, a little loud mouth, you know. Anyway, blessed. He says, leveled out. He said, when God is your Lord, when you really trust in him, you're going to find that God starts leveling out life. And life gets a little bit easier, and life just seems to be a little more pleasant than it was. And then it says, is the nation whose God, the one he looks for protection, is the Lord, Jehovah. In other words, God can make the blessings happen. The Lord is no respecter of persons. In fact, he says, when it says blessed is the nation, that means a body of people, including foreigners, Gentiles, even those who are heathen. But he says, if they make God their Lord, they will be blessed. It says, and the people he hath chosen. Now, the word chosen means to have been tried and accepted, tested and accepted, as opposed to others. You could say those that have met the conditions. Well, what's the conditions? To hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God, that you may observe to do according to that's written therein. The people, it says, and the people he hath chosen for his own inheritance. He's chosen them for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. In other words, there will be battles for everyone, and we can fight the battles on our own, or we can have the Lord fight our battles. 2 Chronicles, we've read 32:8 says, the words of Hezekiah says, with him, his enemy, says, is it the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. The fact is, everybody has the arm of flesh out there. But not everybody has the Lord to fight their battles. I know this is funny, but it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I've been part of Christian education for a long time. And I know I'm going to make somebody mad here, but this has always seemed kind of silly to me. When two Christian schools get together to have a game, do you know that both of them pray to win? Now, one of them's not going to get their prayer answered. And, that's kind of a pet peeve of mine, because they're going to have the Lord fight my battle, and they want the Lord to fight their battle. So I don't know how they think that's all going to work. But anyway, in 1 Samuel 17, David is in front of Goliath, and he says, listen, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into my hands. That's where we want to live. If you get back to Psalm 33, look down at verse 16. There's no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. In other words, tanks and planes don't mean much. God can make the war go either direction. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So in other words, death and famine may be all around us, but the fact is it doesn't mean too much for us, because the curse of the world are raging. The Lord will protect us from the effects of the curse, at least some, if we fear him. Verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. So we need to diligently hang on to the Lord, which means knowing his word, obeying his word, trusting the Lord to keep his promises. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let's pray. And I'm going to talk about this morning living among the blessings in our nation. We talked about the personal lives, and you're going to see a little bit of that here today as well, but the fact is, we're going to see some things here about our nation, and I want to be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your word. A lot of things we want to cover here in just a few moments. Pray, Lord, you'll bless our time. Rachel, help the Holy Spirit to have the Holy Spirit help us understand the Word, teach us, open our hearts as we decide to listen diligently to your voice, to hear what you have to say, and then to do what you've called us to do. And we know your promises are true, and so that we know that the blessings will be upon us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, go to that's where we're going to be here this morning. Deuteronomy 28, verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Says, that sounds awfully familiar. Yeah, almost directly out of Psalm 33. Why did God put that in there twice? Because we've got to hear it four or five times before we believe it. He wanted us to hear these things over and over again. And so that's exactly what he's going to do. Now, we have known that in 2 Chronicles 16, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So the Lord really wants to do a work in our heart. And we've learned that the Lord has a plan. He has a plan for us to be blessed and live a relatively stress-free life. The Lord does not enjoy seeing us live under the curse. And too many folks refuse the blessings by refusing to live the way God has commanded. We say, well, I don't steal, and I didn't commit adultery, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. Yes, but there's a whole lot more to living righteously. Do you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself? You know, there's a lot more going on here. There's some plain things. We just need to trust him, fear him, and put it in his hands. God has a plan. We also found out the Lord will bless us wherever we are, whether you're in the city or in the field. And you will be more productive in whatever you pursue. I'm kind of generalizing here because we went through these in several messages. You'll be more productive in whatever you pursue, assuming that what you're pursuing is within the acceptable will of God. Whether it's your family, your children, your business, whatever it may be, God will bless it when we do it his way. Now, number one today, when our nation as a whole hearkens diligently to the voice of the Lord our God, we will make wiser decisions in life and in conflict and crisis. Let me say that again. When our nation, I'm talking about our nation, if this works for you individually, because our nation is made up of people, but our nation, if it hearkens diligently to the voice of the Lord our God as a whole, we will make wiser decisions in life and in conflict. Look at verse 6. He says, "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." That phrase is used in the Bible as people going out to war, coming back in with your people and going back out to war. In other words, knowing how to handle the adversaries, the temptations, making life decisions. Watch. You know the mess that we're in the world right now among the nations and all the conflicts we're in? Yeah, that doesn't happen to this degree to a nation that's blessed by God. I'm sorry, it does not happen to a nation, at least not to this degree, who's blessed by God. Troubles may come on us from the world and our enemies and even the environment, but the Lord will see us through. Most of the problems and conflict that we are in the midst of are really of our own doing because we've made foolish decisions. We don't know how to go out and come in. We made foolish decisions because we did not hearken diligently to the word of God so that we could observe to obey the Lord's commands and do things his way. Not only will we make better decisions, but the Lord will add his hand of might on our behalf. This is sometimes you make all the right decisions and you're still outnumbered. God says, well, I'll take care of that part. You've been doing your part. I'll take care of that part. Is in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37:1 says this, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Do it, give it to him, do it his way, do right, and he's going to bless him. If you go to verse 22, Psalm 37, 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. Let me read that. You just read right past that. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. In other words, if God is blessing you, then he's also going to bless you in earthly matters. Earthly matters, whether it's food or whether it's need, whether it's in conflict with other people. For such as be blessed of him. If you're being blessed by God, you shall inherit the earth. They will be blessed in earthly matters. Our spiritual walk with God affects whether we are blessed by God, and the blessings of God affect earthly matters. And it says, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Cut off from what? Well, look what it said. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. They that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Cut off from what? From the inheritance. What's an inheritance? Inheritance is something that he gives us because he's simply a loving benefactor, right? We don't deserve his blessings. But on the other hand, so if we live right, obey him, even though we mess up, but our heart is in it, we have a heart after God, he says he's going to bless us. But if I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want. This scares me. And I'm going to do what I want. God says, well, go ahead and do what you want. But you're doing it on your own, Buster. You're going to do it in the armor of flesh. I'm not there to help you through. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you repent and say, Lord, save me, I'll probably grab your hand and pull you out. But you don't know what's going to happen between now and then, what kind of loss you may suffer. And then it goes on, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know what that means? He's blessed. In other words, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Lord tells him where to go. He tells him where to go, where it's level. That's what Jimmy always says, going where it's level. God's paving the way for us and where we're going to go. Now, I'm not saying you're without problems. I'm not saying that. But it's a whole lot easier to go to face the problems with the Lord than without the Lord. Then he says, watch, though he fall, the good man is ordered by the Lord, delighteth in the way, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It is not that you will not have problems, or that you will never stumble or even fall, but even when we mess up and we fall, it will not be the end of us. The Lord will help you get back up and live again. Verse 25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, some folks believe that God is just plain arbitrary or even plays favorites. God's no respecter of persons. The Lord is just and equitable. That's a word they use these days, but he's just and he's equitable. Our back in Psalm 37, it said, behold, the eye of the Lord, 18, is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. That's what he says he'll do. Everybody else might be having a hard time, says, but I'll keep you alive. I recently had a phone call from a lady looking for some financial help. Some months ago, there was a fellow who called up and he gave a sad story and was looking for some help. And I don't usually hand out money. I'll pay bills. And I was going to do this. He was staying at one of those hotels that allows you to stay there because they have no other place to go. And he hadn't paid his bill and he was going to have to leave. And And we talked, we chatted, and I thought, well, I don't know. I felt moved to help the guy out. So I got to the place with the money, and I don't hand them the money because who knows what they're going to use it for. But he needed the money for the hotel bill, so I was going to go and pay the hotel bill. When I got there, he wasn't there. So I kind of made the mistake. I had his phone number. I called him on my cell phone. And I called him up and I asked where he was. Oh, I'm not there. Just leave the money. Yeah. Well, now he has my cell phone. So I've been getting calls from other people who live there. I can't do anything. Just call Pastor Walsh. You can see what he can give you. So one of those phone calls was this lady. Now, don't get mad at me. Some are going to get mad at me before I'm done here. And it really wasn't about the money. I want you to know that. But she was angry at God for not taking care of her and angry at me because I wouldn't give her money. But she had chosen to live under the curse rather than in the blessings, and she had been doing so for a very long time, and the curses had really piled up on her. And yet, as I spoke with her, she refused to admit any wrong. No wrongdoing, placed the blame squarely on God's hypocritical favoritism and injustice. And I'm sorry, I know it sounds mean, but the Lord's money is not to be spent on things contrary to his word and ways. And I quoted to her, I quoted to her, I said, well, I've been young and now I'm old and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Because she was telling me how righteous she was and how God wasn't holding up to his end of the deal. You didn't really say that. I did. But I said, God, I've been old. I'm young and now I'm old. I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I said, I'm more than happy to help you out, but you got to understand, we can't do this forever. Can I take you to the one who will provide your needs? Oh, I don't have any time for that kind of stuff. You're the church, aren't you? That's your job. If I gave her money from God's bank account, no less, I would just be enabling her. She thinks the Lord owes her, and if he doesn't give her what she wants, she gets indignant about it and angry at the Lord instead of humbling herself under God and seeking his mercy. And in fact, she berated me saying, how dare you judge me? You're a preacher. I said, man, I'm just quoting the Bible to you. Now, you know, you may say, well, that was awful hard. That was awful mean. But I think that's a lot of places where America is right now. We're mad at God for not giving us his blessing because we're used to his blessing. But you know why we were having his blessing? Because we feared God as a nation. Overall, we feared God. But in the last few years, last 50, 60 years, we've gradually been kicking God out of the public life and out of our own life. And we haven't passed it on from generation to generation. We've got whole generations of kids coming up. They don't have any idea who God is or who Jesus Christ is. There's no fear of God before their faces. Psalm 36 still says, the transgression of the wicked tells my heart that there's no fear of God before their eyes. They do what they do because they don't think about God's going to get them. Now, you know, you hate to come around and say, God's going to get you. And they always say, that's you know, those people, those church people, God's going to get you. God's not out to get you. You just lose the blessings. And we end up leaving us in the curse. The world's already cursed. We're left in the curses. Let me give you number two. The nation whose God is the Lord will be militarily superior. Not necessarily because of the personal qualities or the armament, so much as the Lord's hand on the situation. Verse 7 says, back in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. You know the way things went in Afghanistan? Yeah, that doesn't happen to a nation that fears God. I'm sorry, but it doesn't. We may have to fight them, but the Lord will intercede and multiply our efforts. Or the Lord may run interference and deal with the enemy before we ever get there. You read the Bible. That's what he did sometimes. Listen, again, this may apply to your personal adversaries as well as our national adversaries. Again, in Psalm 33, 16, there's no king saved by the multitude of the host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Listen, the Lord gave us all the armament that we needed to help us out. And you know what we started doing? Trusting the armament rather than the God who gave us that. We trust the blessings rather than trusting the blesser. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Oh, you already read that. Yeah, I know. We need to live by it. A lot of you know the account of Benjamin Franklin at the Constitutional Convention. This is not the Declaration of Independence. A couple years have gone by now, and they're trying to establish the government. And they've been together for quite a few days, and they're not getting anywhere. And this one wants to do this, and this one wants to do that. And, hey, how about, I think we ought to do this. And, you know, we have these little petty things they wanted to do. Typical politics. Benjamin Franklin, the oldest of the bunch there, just like when Jesus said, when the woman was caught in adultery, and he said, now, he that without sin cast the first stone, and they left. The oldest left first. They've been around long enough, they know their faults. And old Benjamin Franklin said to the gentleman, quote, in this situation of this assembly, speaking to the guys at the Constitutional Convention, in this situation of the assembly groping, as it were, in the dark, to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, he says, it's as plain as the nose on our face, but we can't see it. Truth is the other. By the way, political truth is biblical truth. Biblical truth takes care of political truth. Everyone look at it. There's no we'll be running our government by God's law. That's why it worked in the first place. That's not to put us on top. We're putting God on top. But he says, we can't see it. We don't recognize truth when we see it. But he says, has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understandings? He says, we're sitting here and having an awful fight. We're discussing this. We don't know truth when we see it. Maybe we ought to think about maybe God directing us here, guys. He gives an example. Quote, in the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. In other words, when we were scared to death, we had signed the Declaration of Independence, which is really signing our death warrant. We were scared to death what we was going to have. Our little nation was going to fight Great Britain. He said, you know what we did? We prayed. He said, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. We turned to God in our grasping for answers. And he says this, our prayers, sir, were answered. They were heard and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence of our Father, of our favor, in our favor. We saw God work. I mean, we're still here and we're still alive. Which is a good example of, you know what he was practicing right there? I glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. He says, listen, guys, I've been old and I've been young. I'm young and now I'm old, and I've seen God do his work. Goes on, he says this, to that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. He says, if God hadn't blessed us, we wouldn't be sitting here now trying to write the Constitution. The fact that we're sitting here right now alive proves that God's on the throne and God worked. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? Those were his words. I've lived, served a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. Boy, that, does that echo David or what? Been young and I've been old, and I haven't seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? In other words, do you really think we can do this all by ourselves, guys? He goes on. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings. Listen diligently. Hearken diligently to the word of God. It has been said, we have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we will succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel, who thought they could rise to God without his aid. We shall be divided by our little partial local interest, in other words, political issues, politics, partyism, partisan. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down the future age. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter from this unfortunate incident, this mess that we're making here, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. The next one will take over will simply because somebody decided to take it over. We'll flip of the coin. That's how we'll decide who's leading. So he goes on. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. That's how quick we can walk away from the blessings of God. And I believe we've done it again. I believe we've done it again. Number three. Being blessed can be a way of life. Being blessed can be a way of life. There's a lot of people who are, you know, they live life and they're doing just fine. Oh, well, I got some problems. I need a blessing, Lord. Good, got it. And they move on with their life. And then, well, okay, I need some blessings, Lord. And they're not really searching for him, you know. They're just going through life. But being blessed can be a way of life. Look at verse 8. And the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. Deuteronomy 28:8. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, you're going to have plenty. There's not going to be a supply chain shortage. We will not be coming up short on what we need. Whatever you need, there will be more than enough at a fair price. We used to say, when something like this is crazy, well, how can this happen? This is America. That was because, overall, America feared God and was blessed as long as they feared God, and blessed the nation whose God is the Lord, those that fear him. So why isn't it still? Well, I guess God's not holding up to his promise. Or maybe we're not holding up to our end of the deal. Number four. We can have a special relationship with God. Why should he bless us over anybody else? Why should he? We don't deserve it. But he says, but he made the promise. If we'll seek his face, hearken diligently to his word, to observe to do what he's asked us to do, he says, I'll bless you. Look at verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk his way. So, well, he's talking to Israel. Yeah, he is. But did you see, remember where we started? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God's no respecter of person. That word nation means heathen nation, Gentile nation, a group of people. You know what that means? Whosoever will. And America was said, we'll take it. And America got it. And now America has is losing it because we think we're getting too big for our britches. We can have a special relationship with God. He can call us his own. Look at verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. The Lord will literally see us differently than he does the rest of the nations that are not diligently hearkening to the word of God. On the other hand, if there's another nation that's hearkening diligently to the word of God, God will bless them too. Well, what if they attack us? People who obey in the word of God don't go around attacking other people. They may defend their people, but they don't go around attacking people. You don't have to worry about them being blessed of God and them attacking you. You don't worry about that. That's not the way it works. Because if they attack you, then they're not obeying the word of God, so now they're not going to get blessed by God. Well, how are we going to fend them off? We would need to have God on our side. Well, what if they get the upper hand? Well, then apparently we don't have God on our side. Or you should say, us on his side. We will have a special protective place in the heart of God. The world will notice when we obviously have a special relationship with God and that they had better not mess with us. And all the people of the earth, verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Oh my goodness. I don't know who their God is. I don't know what it is, but something special about these folks. It seems like they can't lose. Let's just leave them alone. Now I understand that people thought, well, that's the way it's going to be because if we had Donald Trump in the office.
He has a lot of problems. He has a terrible foul mouth. But I will tell you this. I don't think he really knows any better. But he does fear God. Now I think if he really learned that kind of language is not what God wants, I think he would probably stop it, to be honest with you. But he's like Jehu in the Bible, just a crazy man. And God knew that he was going to do what he wanted him to do. And so he used him. Trump is not the Messiah. I don't think he's the Antichrist either, personally. I've heard that. I just think he's a crazy man that doesn't listen to anybody else. He's just going to do. And what he's going to happen to do is some things that God wants him to do. I said, 5.5 years ago, I said, I think that Trump is the man for the hour. I don't agree with a lot of the things he says, but I think he's the man for the hour. And if we don't make use of that hour, those 4 years, I don't know what's going to happen. In fact, I said, I think it's going to come back with a revenge. You can go back and listen to my recording. I said, the liberals are going to come back with a revenge, with vengeance. I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet, but the principles are in there. I just simply applied them. And you know, we sat on our backsides and said, isn't this great? And while we had the opportunity and the doors were open, the church as a whole, I mean, we did what we could in our place, but a lot of places just kind of said, well, this is great. Now this is fine. And then the 4 years were up, and now look at us. We might get another 4 years. What happens after that 4 years? What needs to be done is that what we need is a national revival. And maybe God will see, is making it so bad so that we will come back. I'm afraid they're all looking to Mar-a-Lago and bowing down. That's where Trump lives, by the way, if you know what that means. That's their Mecca. That's not going to be our answer. He simply opened the door for us to do what God has called us to do. Anyway, other nations will recognize that something out there in the universe is taking care of us, whether they realize it's the Lord or not. And they won't want to risk messing with the power of the universe by attacking us or misusing us. They will keep their distance from our military. Not like we have now, where Putin is not afraid to do whatever he wants, including threaten us, if we happen to interfere with his tyranny. Or China watching to see if they can get away with taking Taiwan. I got a little further in the early service, didn't I? Let me do one more for you. Number five. We will be a wealthy people which abounds in goods. A wealthy people that abounds in goods. Look at verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, plenty of provisions, in the fruit of thy body, big families, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. A thriving commerce. America used to be a wealthy nation where folks could have just about anything they wanted. They just went down to the store and bought it. But look how quickly those things can change. This is the way our nation has been for generations, but now we're having the same supply issues as other nations. That's because our practice of hearkening diligently and observing to do his commands, or the lack thereof, is becoming more like the rest of the world. One of the first, now this one you might think is a little far-fetched, but I'm going to say it here. Don't beat me up. I'm not going to die on this hill for you, but I want you to look at this. I want you to think about this. At least mull it over. What's the first command that the God, after don't eat of the tree, but actually, you know, but what's the very first command that God gave Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, why is that? Because God is life and he brings forth life and life comes from life. Every time a baby is born, it proves there's a God. You can say, oh, isn't that warm and fuzzy? I'm serious. That's the glory. I mean, that's the crown of his creation, is a human body. It's amazing. All that it does, and all these little things that take care of this, and if this happens, here's this little thing kicks in, and this is the problem. This little thing kicks in, and if you cut yourself, it knows how to regenerate skin and close it up and heal up. And I mean, it's just amazing. Life originally came from God, and life continues to come from God, which is really life. God, life comes from life. Giving birth to children brings glory to God and shows his life-giving power. And the Lord gives life. Watch this. If he gives life, he will sustain life. Now, some folks do not want big families. I understand. But they don't want it simply because they don't think they can afford to raise the kids. Don't get mad at me. I'm just musing here a little bit. God knows we have need of certain things, and he gives us what we need when we follow him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought what about tomorrow, because tomorrow, you know, is evil to the day thereof. I mean, is sufficient to the day thereof. And he said, God knows you have need of these things. Some folks will say at the end of their child-rearing days, well, see, it was a good thing we didn't have any more kids because we would not have had enough money to afford to raise more than we did. Well, the Lord didn't give you more money because you didn't need it because you stopped having kids. We say, well, that's just silly. What did he say? Go forth and multiply. Bring forth fruit and multiply. Now, I'm not saying that's all we're for there, to make babies. I understand that. But don't let the provision be what scares you. You see, you wanted to see more money come in before you had more kids. But you don't need more money because you didn't have more kids. Well, I just want more money. Well, prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. Maybe God gave you exactly what you need. We raised the kids, and we added another one, and you know what? We were just as poor at the end as we were the early ones. But we still got through. God paid for everything we need. What's it say? It says, give us this day our daily bread. It is, give me enough bread so I can raise this kid and get him out of the house at age 18. That's not what it said. Don't you know God loves your child as much as he loves you? If you do not have more kids, then you do not have more need for God to provide, and so God does not provide for more. Now, he may provide more in other ways at other times. He may. But if you're looking for more money just so you can have more kids, probably not going to see it. Till you decide you're going to have some more kids. Now, that having kids is not going to make you wealthy. You're going to be just as poor then as you are now. But you're going to have enough to raise the kids. You think you're going to run out of money because you think you are the one providing for the family, and you have forgotten it is God. Now, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. But he's the one that gives you the job. He's the one that gives you the energy. He's the one that gives you enough money. He tells the boss to give you a little bit raise because you have new kids. You have more kids. Well, so we had a bunch of kids. We couldn't afford to do it. Did you hearken diligently unto the voice of God, that you may observe to do all his commandments? Well, maybe that's why you were a little short-handed. Maybe you spent your money on bubble gum instead of on lunch. You're filling up your wine cabinet. You're stopping at the bar and getting a beer. You're paying $5 a pack for cigarettes. And your money's going up in smoke. You can afford a Hyundai Elantra, but you bought a Palisade. Some folks joke about how missionary families seem to have lots of kids. I was picking on Tim this morning in early service. Tim and Jessica were on the mission field in Sri Lanka, and I know there was tough times, but you're all here. You're all here. You're alive and well. Watch. Did you notice that we haven't heard of any of them starving to death because of the size of their family? They may not have had some of the luxuries that others have had, but oftentimes their kids are much more thankful and grateful and even more contented and happy than others which have more of the world's goods. They've seen the Lord provide for them. And frankly, they don't need all this world's goods. Then you've got to carry it around and hold on to it and figure out what you're going to do with it until you need it. Well, if God gives you what you need when you need it, then he can hang on to it till we need it. And I don't have to be burdened with it. You hear about this guy who was out on the beach and he found a lamp. This is real spiritual here. And he rubbed the lamp, and sure enough, a genie came out. And the genie said, I'll give you 3 wishes. Anyway, he ended up at a restaurant, and this ostrich came in with him. And he sat down to have dinner, and he said, I'd like to have a steak and a baked potato and a glass of iced tea. And they said, well, what's your friend want? He wants the same. She wants the same. And so they did. And so when he got done, they gave him the bill, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out some money, laid it on there, and sure enough, it was exactly the right amount of change, right amount of money to pay for the 2 meals. And so a little bit later, they came back in again. He was going to have dinner. And he sat down and he said, what do you want? I want a lobster and a nice tossed salad and a nice piece of cheesecake for dessert and a glass of iced tea. Well, what does your friend want? You want the same thing? And the ostrich goes like this. And so when it's all done, he reached his hand and pulled out the money and put it on there, and it was exactly the right amount to pay for the bill. And the waitress says, I got to ask this. He said, you reach your hand in, and you come out with exactly the right amount of money. How can that be? He said, well, I found this genie thing, this genie lamp on the beach. And he said, yeah. He said, nah. So they gave me three wishes. And he said, well, what was your wish? I said, my first wish was that I could be able to reach my pocket and always have enough money to pay for whatever it is that I need. And he said, well, what was your second wish? Well, I wished for a chick with long legs that would always agree with me. I'm sorry. Well, yeah. Jan and I decided that the Lord would decide how many kids we had. And he has promised to provide all our needs if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now he also chose to shut down the factory earlier than we were thinking, but that's okay. I started thinking we're going to be 70 years old, still going to high school graduations for our kids. Not our grandkids, our kids, you know. But, you know, that, and the Lord had provided. He took care of all of us. The church I was at before we moved, my oldest son, who was running sound in the early service, was a junior in high school. And we were up to debt and had a mortgage in the house. And I thought, I don't know how we're going to pay for him to go to college. And then we took the job up here, and the deal was they pay me if there's anything left at the end of the month. But you know what? When we moved up here, we took this job that didn't guarantee anything. The way God worked it out was we sold the house in Maryland. Housing prices had gone up. We were able to come up here and buy a nice house for cash and put enough money in the bank to help us live on for the first couple years of the church, and enough to pay him to go to college. The day I took a job that guaranteed no pay, I was better off financially than I'd ever been in my life. I'm just telling you. Well, that's just a coincidence. Sure is a nice coincidence. I believe that this is why Satan pushes abortion so much. Every life born brings glory to God and his life-giving power, and the last thing Satan wants is for the Lord to get glory. Listen, LGBTQ, why is that so bad? Why is being gay or lesbian so bad? Mostly because you're looking for the pleasure of the act without giving God the glory with the development of life. I heard this week that they're trying to make the pill available without any kind of doctor's prescription. So anybody just walk up to the counter and get one. Transgenderism. I hadn't heard about this till just the last few weeks. I never thought about this. But they give them hormones to make that transition, and they want to do it before they hit puberty. And they use puberty blockers, which does what? They do not develop the way they're supposed to do, and it sterilizes them in that they cannot have babies. Catches them while they're still a kid, and at that point it's too late. You say what you want, but I believe God can provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. And he can take care of us. We got to go. We'll finish this up next time. Why are we not blessed? Are we hearkening diligently to the voice of God to observe, to keep all his commandments? And if not, don't expect to be blessed in any particular way over anybody else out there in the world. Just don't expect it. But blessing can be a way of life. Jan and I have talked about, I don't know how many times. Sometimes we're just sitting in the family room and I'm on my computer, I'm studying, and she's studying, and you just start thinking about what God has done. We are so blessed. You know that old song? We are so blessed.